This is episode 58, recorded on June 1st, 2012. Packard pokes at Robo Spider versus Snake Man.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And now we have some actual good background here. So now my chair will not look like it's trying to evaporate under my ass here.
You said ass.
I said ass. If you noticed, you may have noticed that the screen is a little bit bigger. I've been working on making the show a little bit better here and there, and we'll get the wide screen effect now, so you can see both my hands. Oh, well, anyway, joining us tonight, finally back from his vacation, and, everybody's here now. Anyway, joined from the south of me down in Illinois land is Dan Relin Related Johnson.
Yo, how's it going?
And joining us from the far east coast is, or no, far west coast, rather, is Medusa Rance. I forgot which coast.
Wow.
I forgot what coast you're on there from.
West coast.
The west coast.
Wow.
I haven't slept all day. Give me a break.
It's 7 o'clock out here on the west coast.
Yes. Yeah, you got that time difference thing there, you know.
Good for your West Coast listeners.
Yes, very much so. And joining us from the far East Coast is Joe Unseen.
East Coast is the most.
Ooh, schwing.
Schwing, schwing. I've been to the East Coast. I haven't been all the way to the West Coast. Far West Coast I've been to is the far end of North Dakota.
Ikasa, Sukasa.
Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten. Well, anyway, we have a lot of good stories for you tonight. So let's get going with our first story. Whoops. No, not that one. That's for corrections. No corrections. Let's get into our tech stories. Now, one of our personnel here on the show, Dan, he loves spiders. So I kind of picked this one out for you there. There's a robot you can be able to buy at some point. It looks like a spider, and at some point you'll be able to buy this for around $200 as a kit. And I this is kind of cool as a toy, but later on I think this would be kind of neat for exploration, like if we want to explore caves or look for people that are trapped in wells or mines or whatever. I think that'd be something that could be done later on. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned exploring caves, because I just saw an article earlier this week about another open source project. It's a radio controlled submarine, a small submarine, and they've been using it to explore some underwater caves.
Uh-huh.
Very cool stuff like this. But yeah, I love this little six-legged robot. The six hexapod architecture that they're using is similar to some robotic systems that they're using to test for possible Martian rovers that, you know, rather than on tracks, are on legs. And some of the experiments are pretty cool, but this is great that it's, you know, it's down into a price range that people can afford to play around with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, public science is really a very cool area to play with.
Yeah, it looks like it says here you can even play the guitar. I can't even play the guitar. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, the tech section is always over my tiny little pinhead, but I think this what Dan said about it being affordable puts science into the hands of your average American, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can afford an iPhone, or you can get a robot for your kids to put together. You know, and what a fun family project that is. And I mean that sincerely. We've come from Legos and pickup sticks to building robots mm-hmm. in our house. And
I still like Lego myself.
I'm still a Lego queen. I like the little guys. They're fun to play with.
Yeah.
Oh, there's my deep, dark secret. But now I can have the spider pick up my Lego guys and play with them. So,
okay, now there's an interesting thought.
There's an interesting thought, and on that interesting thought, I will back out of tech where I'm not fit to be in the same room with you guys.
That's okay. No, it's all right. This is tech for everybody. Joe, your thoughts?
The article says this robot wants to be friendly. For $200, I want to know how friendly.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
What to do, huh? What to do? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, eye, huh?
Hey, it's my old picture. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, I was able to change that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I could say something really randy right now, but I won't.
Well, if I'm going to get friendly with a robot, I prefer them to have two legs, not six. That's too many legs for me.
Two legs, two arms. Two legs, two arms, and we won't see Joe for several hours, right?
You're going to give me a reputation.
I think like, you gave that to yourself already.
People aren't going to leave me alone with their robots.
Hey, at least if someone brings a robot over and opens the kind that cleans, then I would have it go crazy. Of course, in my house, it'd probably just blow up. Speaking of blowing up, let's our next story here. Microsoft is opening businesses over in Iraq, and according to the company, that they think that Iraq is technologically void right now because of all the war and everything like that. I have mixed feelings on this. One is I'm glad Microsoft's stepping up to be able to sell over in their country, and we're able to actually sell technology over there now. But we've already had enough issues with Iran, which is right next door. And if they can get their hand, if this is going to go into Iraq's hands, who says that it's not going to get into Iraq's or Iran's hands as well? Dan, your thoughts?
Iran, they usually know better than to run Microsoft products.
Better by now.
Oh well, it's plain that Microsoft has their own best interests at heart, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
One of their big things that it mentioned in the article that it's the representative, Microsoft's business manager there in Iraq, has asked the Iraqi government to pass laws that would protect intellectual property rights and clamp down on the use of unlicensed software.
Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's probably not at the forefront of what the government should be in Iraq should be doing right at the moment. They really probably couldn't care less about Microsoft right now, and rightfully so.
Right.
There's nothing they're going to get from Microsoft right now that they don't already have.
Yeah.
Other than the hardware, and Microsoft really isn't in the hardware business.
Yeah. Unless they want a Zune.
Yeah, well, I hear there's a warehouse full of those.
It's all heading to Iraq.
But I don't know. I'm not much of an Xbox fan either, so I can't really give them advice there.
Well, they did add YouTube to Xbox just recently, so that makes it about 10% better.
10% better and 2 years behind.
Yes. they've got to update their boxes, at least somehow. I mean, Luis, I know they won't be getting Xboxes out. Well, you know what? Actually, if they get our Xbox out in Iraq, they'll be able to blow up virtual people instead of real ones. No, I'm just kidding. Nothing says it explosion like do it yourself. No, I'm just kidding. Medusa, your thoughts.
Well, God, yes, you spoke from my mind. They can blow up virtual people instead of real people. Mm-hmm. It works here. Kids like to blow up virtual people. Mm-hmm. So why should it not work in Iraq? Ahmadinejad, oh boy. The one dictator we really should have taken out, and we left him there in power. Yeah. We knew where Saddam was. I was happy with that. I knew where Muammar was. I was happy with that. I didn't need for them to be executed. The one that needed to be executed, they don't execute. Great. But,
Which one would that be?
Ahmadinejad in Iran.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Ahmadinejad, yeah. That he should have been assassinated, in my humble opinion.
You know, I've always wondered what the fine line between being murdered and assassination is. How important do you have to be before you're assassinated?
How important do you have to be? Is that a rhetorical question? Or a rectal question?
I don't know.
So if you're on the town council, it's not an assassination.
Right. But that's if you're a president of a country, right. it's an assassination.
It's just weird. And those are my thoughts.
Very good.
Bill Gates is going to do what Bill Gates is going to do, where Bill Gates wants to do it. But end.
Well, Bill Gates actually been off the I think he's still part of the member of the board, but he's not active as the head of the company anymore. So everything is this is doing is what's his name? It's Steve something. I forget the name though.
Mm-hmm. He's around doing charity.
Gates is, but the other guy I forget what his name is.
Steve Ballmer.
I don't know how I could have forgotten that one. But yeah, this is Ballmer's direction now. Joe, your thoughts.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. When I was reading this article, I imagined these poor Iraqis walking around in the desert, banging zunes against their forehead, trying to figure them out. Because you know Microsoft didn't sell them to anybody else. They're like, I have an idea. Let's just send them to Iraq.
There you go. You know the funny thing is? People here in the United States were already banging them against their heads, trying to figure out how to get them to work, too.
I had one for like...
You guys will tell me how they work. I shall wait.
Joe, you still there? Oh, we lost Joe. Oh, there you are.
Hey.
What happened?
Hey. I don't know.
No. On this show? Really?
I heard you say, we lost Joe. I'm like, no, I'm still here, and then click.
I don't know. We lost you for a second there. Okay, Joe, you were saying?
I'm done.
No. He was lost, but now he's found.
Yes. No, you were saying about the Zunes being knocked against their heads and everything, and you were
And they'd probably be wondering like, why don't we have iPods? Why don't we have iPhones like the rest of the world?
Yeah, I'd be wondering. They probably of course then they might actually get technologically advanced.
Oh, we wouldn't want that now, would we?
No, we don't want that.
Yeah. Negatory.
We could check macrumors.com for rumors of a Baghdad Apple store. It'll look like a bunker, but made of glass.
That was inspired.
That's funny. Excellent. That's funny. Okay.
Well, you know, it's not like they're not using computers in Baghdad. There's plenty being used. It's just Microsoft isn't making any money off of it because it's... although I'm sure there are many legitimate copies of Microsoft Windows running in Iraq, there are probably many more illegitimate copies that they never made any royalties from, and that's it. They're looking after their bottom line. They're looking after money.
Yeah, that's what they're basically. You're trying to recoup the money that's already over there. I mean, the investment that's already over there, probably, and try to get them legitimate copies instead of having them to force them to buy pirated copies or download the software as is. But Bill Gates always had a issue with the software pirates as it is. All right, well, let's get into our next stories here. Now, the Boston Appeals Court has finally did the right thing and the rule in the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. It's about damn time. The Boston Appeals Court has ruled that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, or also known as DOMA. Finally, they did the right thing. They finally did the right thing and got this taken care of. Now they're saying that in the unanimous ruling, the three-judge panel agreed with the decision made by the lower courts in 2010 that it was unconstitutional and basically interferes with individual states' rights to define marriage. I'm glad this has happened. I'm glad that, you know, now that it's been ruled that it's unconstitutional, I'm wondering those states that just recently passed, was it North Carolina or is that Tennessee? I forget which one of those two.
North Carolina.
I had to write the first one then. That they had just made gay marriage unconstitutional, or laws to their state's constitution. They doubly, triply banned it, basically. I'm just wondering now, with this measure taking place, will they have to reverse that now? Dan, your thoughts?
Eventually, it's going to be found that, you know, that particular amendment is unconstitutional according to the federal constitution. Mm-hmm. And they're probably going to leave it there, although it won't be, they won't be able to, you know, do anything about it. In the same way that I believe there are like seven different state constitutions that pretty much state that an atheist cannot hold office.
Mm-hmm.
While that part of their constitution, their state constitution, is unconstitutional according to the federal government, it's still on the books.
Mm.
You know, it still has an effect, but it can't be enforced.
Yeah,
you know, this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Personally, like I said, I don't think anybody should get married.
Amen.
That's the divorced man speaking to you. Nobody get married. Nobody should get married. Nobody. Straight, gay, chimpanzee, tiger, whatever you are.
Abolish marriage.
There you go. Let's abolish marriage. I'm just, you know, that's just me, of course. But just your thoughts.
Oh, that's me too. I worked in divorce court for many years. I say, just abolish marriage. Would end an age of warring states between husbands and wives, that's for sure.
Yeah.
As far as the law being changed, it's one small step to getting closer to the Supreme Court. You know, I ordered a book. And I can't wait for it to come in. And I'll tell you what the title of it is.
Okay.
It is The Great Big Book of Horrible Things, The Definitive Chronicle of History's 100 Worst Atrocities. Now,
marriage is at the top of the list, right?
Pretty much. The Greeks take the top three spots right off the get-go. And the Age of the Warring States is one of them. There should be... We are one country. We should have one law. I don't like this creeping baby step by baby step by baby step to get to the Supreme Court so we can get a federal law that says gay marriage is recognized and abolishes all the other state laws. We're one country. We should have one law. We should be of one mind on this issue.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And with the states developing their own laws, it just serves to muddy the water on what most people are in agreement with, and that is that if gay people want to be as miserable as heterosexual people, please let them get married.
I agree. You know what they should do is, if they decide to ban gay marriage in their state, they should do what they do with the drinking age. If you decide, they did several years, a number of years ago, if you didn't have put the age for drinking at 21, you got denied federal funds. I think they should do the same thing here. If you deny gay marriage and it's just been determined that gay marriage, banning gay marriage, is unconstitutional, then mm-hmm. you don't get federal funds. So you
either, exactly.
Then they'll go, oh, we really like gay marriage. We'll change this really quick. And I think that really that's what would happen. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, this is definitely a victory, and I was actually looking forward to hear what Medusa would say about it, because I was actually wondering how far away then this is from getting to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I'm wondering it myself as well.
Well, it's baby steps, and that, again, is what's so frustrating for him, because it's state by state. Mm-hmm. And right. So it has to go through the federal state appeals, and then it's got to go higher into the federal government, into the Supreme Court. So, I mean, we're not even close yet.
Right.
And it's just one state. I'm excited. It's great news. It's wonderful. But it's a baby step. And I want to take big steps.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just one state? I thought it was like a district court.
It says first U.S. Court appeals it's, in Boston.
Yeah.
So okay. It must just be Massachusetts.
Okay.
It is. It's just one state, one law. And again, you know, we've got to come together on this issue on a federal level. Either the federal government has to step in and pronounce a federal law and rule that gay marriage is constitutional and that it is unconstitutional to prohibit it. It's going to have to be a federal law.
Yeah. We definitely have to get these right-wing nut jobs that want to ban gay marriage, especially the religious ones. They think that, you know, because it says so in the Bible, that the two people of the same gender shouldn't be together. They need to step back from that, because there's so much that stuff that's in there that's just total bizarreness to begin with.
Exactly. And when you're in Jesus land and you're in the government and you're in politics, you can get away with this type of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Unfortunately. But
Boston is a victory, though. It's a win.
Yes. I wondered if this will be challenged in other courts, the high courts.
Oh, absolutely.
Down the road. At least I hope so, anyway. Our next story here, that Florida Governor Rick Scott could steal the election for Mitt Romney. Now, we have had the last, what was it, the 2001 election, 2000 election, that we had an issue in Florida with the voting down there. Well, it's going to go on again. This time, what they're doing is they're going to, they're purging voting record rolls right before the election, which is illegal. They are not allowed to do that. They are being put under a microscope on this, and they're asking for a federal judge to step in and say, hey, what you've done is totally illegal, because there have been problems. People have that are being told that they are not legal to vote because they claim that they don't live in this country. There was a gentleman who's was in World War II. He lives in Ohio, or he was living in Ohio, and he's down in Florida. And they said he can't vote because they say he wasn't even a citizen, which is total nonsense. That's just one of the examples. I've heard several others. I just can't wish I can remember them all. But there was over, it says here, the list was over 1,882 people that were considered so flawed by Browning that they refused to release the data by county election officials. And now they're doubling down on this. Before, it was a smaller sampling of these names that they sent to this third party to check to see if they were legal or not. They've added even more names to this roll. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It's generally the Republican Party that is trying to push through these measures to reduce the number of people that are actually going to vote in an upcoming election, because historically, if voter turnout is high, Democrats have a better chance.
Yeah.
You know, it's partisanship at its worst, and he's disenfranchising people who have a constitutional right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And Governor Scott has, you know, gosh, my cats have more morals than he's got.
Well said.
It's crazy. I know that they are hoping to get the federal courts involved in this, and Yeah, the Department of Justice apparently has sent them a letter that they are supposed to stop their voter purge.
Yeah. You know what?
They need to be called on it because this isn't right. This is against the law.
Yes.
They are violating the laws of this country in attempting to steal an election.
Yes.
Which is exactly the type of thing they say they're working against.
Yes, exactly. You know, and the funny thing is here that we can tell that this is a scam on their part to try to steal votes because it's heavily targeted at if you were a Democrat, Hispanic, or Democrat or Hispanic, and they found that 58% of the people who were on the targeted were either Democrat or Hispanic or independent, as it were. So it's just so. It's so blatantly obvious. I mean, they think we're stupid. They think, oh, they'll never get this one. You know, it just blows my mind that they think that we're going to just roll over and go, okay. You know, they want Obama out so bad. They're going to great lengths just to destroy all democracy in this country. Medusa, your thoughts?
And make themselves look like fools in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must preface my remarks by saying, and I hope I don't offend any Floridians, but I consider Florida, and I think I can say this word on the air, to be the colostomy bag of the nation. All the weirdos, I mean, the face-eating man was in Florida.
Yeah.
Hello.
Well, it was just a light snack. You know,
Florida, and although this is a sloppy, chaotic, and possibly illegal plan, it just might work. And what's at stake here are 29 electoral votes. So I really hope that they do oversee what is happening to Florida, because again, they're trying to trip up an election by doubling down. They don't realize they're not in Vegas, and they can't get away with that kind of crap during a national election. So I feel confident that people are on to them now, but it doesn't surprise me that they're doing this. They are just the dregs of humanity just trickle down into Florida.
Yeah, well, they trickle down into Florida, they trickle up the chain, the food chain of government.
Well, they're on the same coast.
Yeah.
You know?
Joe, your thoughts?
Voting is a right guaranteed by the Constitution, and they keep trying to put roadblocks in the way of people voting by having poll taxes. Well, they can't have a poll tax. Okay, so we're going to have voter IDs, but the voter IDs cost money, and that's a poll tax. And so now they're going through political shenanigans like this, and it's just terrible. It's like denying someone freedom of speech.
Yes.
You know, it's just
awful. Where is Jimmy
awful.
Carter when you need him?
He went back to the
peanut farm.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You beat me to it.
He should be overseeing the election in Florida. He was over in Egypt, and our system is not nearly as neat and tidy as Egypt's is. We need to be overseeing it, especially in Florida.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Where's Jimmy?
SAGDEC is bad-mouthing people in Florida, but he's in Florida.
Well, if anybody can, he can, so...
He drives through Florida, so technically he's not a Floridian. He just passes through.
I see.
That's why it's the colostomy bag. You pass through.
Ah, gotcha.
I've got this worked out.
Oh, I'm glad one of us does then. All right, well, let's get into our next topic.
Give me the news.
Now, there's a lot of restaurants out there that you probably... fast food restaurants, I should say, that you probably just go by every day. You don't think of twice about them. And one of them is KFC. Well, Colonel Sanders, not that he's a hero of mine, but I like the chicken. What can I say? I like the chicken. Actually, I like the coleslaw better than I like the chicken. But
I love the coleslaw.
The coleslaw is primo. I would just go in there just for coleslaw.
A bomb.
Now, the one thing I do like, though, is the fact is that 40 years later, they discovered an old recipe book of his, and they are releasing it to the general public for free. Now, they've already posted out several recipes already. It says two here, and it's in the autobiography. But they will be the book's going to be provided by on their web on their Facebook page, and you can download it for free. And there's recipes that they don't use in their restaurant for sale, and so you can be able to cook stuff up like Colonel Sanders probably did when he came up with some of these recipes. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great that they're, you know, publicly releasing this. It's not going to be available in bookstores or at online booksellers. You just go to KFC's Facebook page and you can download this book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was written more than 40 years ago by Colonel Harlan Sanders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the kind of, you know, down-home cooking turned fast food of, you know, 50 years ago. This is not the down-home cooking turned fast food of today.
Right.
It's comfort food for a lot of people, and that's important. You know, back when it was called Kentucky Fried Chicken, mm-hmm. when fried was not a dirty word. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And I'm going to check it out, see what kind of recipes are in there.
Oh, yeah, me too. It says here it's supposed to be available at the beginning of June, which is, June 4th here. So it should be available here by the time the show comes out on Sunday. So if you get a chance to go down there and give just the recipes a try. You never know. You might find something you've never tried before and you like. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I parked my car in Dan's garage, too, and in your garage as well. I mean, I've always loved KFC, but then my Greek Yaya loved KFC, so mm-hmm. it will be just wonderful to go and get a recipe and be able to cook the chicken up at home, because I make a mean fried chicken, but not as mean as the Colonel's.
No.
And to get those spices is going to be just the bomb.
Yeah.
Going to be really exciting.
Well, it's not going to be the same recipes that they use for their commercial business. It's just going to be other recipes that they have that were lost. Well, never know. It might be. Although when my mother was still alive, she came really close. I mean, almost really. She came really, wow. really close to a recipe for the gravy. Because the gravy and the coleslaw. You don't go to KFC for chicken. You go for there for the rest. You go for the coleslaw. You go for the gravy. You don't go for anything.
The mashed potatoes and gravy and coleslaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. And I always want an original recipe too. Don't give me that crispy stuff.
Oh yeah, me too. Yeah. You know what? My daughter finds this really funny. Is sometimes I take the potato wedges and I dip them in the potatoes. I put gravy on top of that. So I've got potato, I've got gravy, potato, potato.
You get those messy bowls they have with the cheese.
Those are good. Those are really good. All right. We better get to Joe here before he eats his keyboard. Joe, your thoughts?
What I am blown away by is that the Colonel was a real person.
Yes.
I mean, he's got a building in every town. His face is on the side. We should start a religion. we could be called the Colonelists. We'll practice Sandersism. Take this wing. This wing is my flesh.
Oh, and the blood will be the gravy.
There you go.
Yes.
Right. I shall pour the holy gravy over the sacred potatoes.
But dipping your potato wedge in the mashed potatoes is an abomination.
Try it. Try it.
The biscuits will be the wafers, like in Catholic Church.
Actually, they stopped. They used to, the one in my town anyway. They had cornbread or biscuits, and you got to choose. I went in there a couple months ago, and they just gave me biscuits. Like, you're not offering the other one. Say, oh no, people don't order them enough, so we just. Just stop selling them completely.
Oh.
So, well, no big loss on my end. I always just take the biscuits anyway. I'm not a big corn muffin.
I do. Go home and make cornbread anyway.
Yeah.
With brown sugar and honey. And butter. Yum.
Joe, your thoughts? Or did we already do you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, all right. Very good.
We all did now.
It was, KFC's got me so hungry now. I'm just wondering. Our next story here is a schoolboy genius solved a puzzle that was posed by Sir Isaac Newton himself and had baffled mathematicians for over 350 years ago. So, with all our fancy technology, a 16-year-old managed to crack this puzzle and that had been sitting on the books for over 360 years. I think that is incredible. I'm sure I would have done it too. No, I was kidding. I need a calculator for simple stuff. No, but it's amazing that this guy is able to do this. It just goes to show you that we are advancing, at least intellectually, in some degrees. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is very cool. I love reading articles like this that show that the knowledge that we've gained over the centuries is not complete and never will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great when a young man like this comes along and solves something that has puzzled people for 350 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is that some people like him don't really like the idea that somebody said, well, nobody can do this.
Yeah.
Somebody can do this, just nobody's done it yet. And, who can say who might be the next, person to come around and solve what was considered unsolvable?
Right. That reminds me of a story I read a number of years ago. I wish I could remember who it was. There was a kid, he was in a class, and he was kind of rushing. He wasn't paying attention, and there was a problem that was up on the math board. So he quickly wrote it down, and he took it home, and he studied it for a while, and he brought it back, and the teacher said, what's this? Said, oh, that's the extra credit you put on the board. So, no, this was an example of a problem that no one's been able to solve. How did you figure it out? So it's the same thing. Yeah, I'm just glad that this guy was able to be able to figure this out. It kind of reminds me. I know it's going to sound kind of
hey,
weird.
There you are.
Oh, did you disappear again, Joe?
Yes,
you did. Okay. It kind of reminds me. There was an episode of. I know it's going to sound corny. There was an episode of Star Trek, Next Generation. They were talking. Picard and Riker were talking about some mathematician, and on the side they're talking about some stuff that he was talking about. Some mathematician wrote down was written in his notes, and he wrote remarkable proof, but he didn't include the proof, so he didn't. They had no way of solving it. So I wonder if this was what they were talking about. I have to go back to the episode.
Actually, I think that was Fermat's last theorem.
Ah,
but just in yesterday's news. KS agent just pulled one up here. 11-year-old in Sweden just helped his grandfather solve a very long-running chemistry problem.
Really? That's cool.
It was his dad. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It cracked a scientific problem that it had vexed the elder homecaller for years.
Wow. It's just the way the mind thinks when you're younger. You see things in a different light.
Yeah. He's going to be among the youngest to ever be listed as the author of a paper in the Royal Society's 352-year history.
Wow. That is a crowning achievement. Where's he going to go from there, though? Yeah. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, I do have hope for the future when I hear about young people achieving such high aspirations as this.
Mm-hmm.
There was as Dan was remarking on another case, the 10-year-old boy, there was a 15-year-old boy who was awarded for pancreatic cancer. He developed what may become an effective way to detect pancreatic cancer, ovarian cancer, and lung cancer. Basically, it costs 3 cents and takes about 5 minutes to run. And it's just done on a strip of paper.
Yeah, you mentioned this last week, too.
It's amazing what these kids are doing, So I do have hope for the future that we have these bright young minds and they're focusing. I know all my kids focused on school and college, got one more to get rid of, but I'm working on it. But I don't think he'll solve the pancreatic cancer thing.
Yeah.
But this is, important work that he's doing, 350 years.
Yeah.
of people actively working on it. You know that there are people, right, Dan, who were also working on solving this problem.
Yep. That they were. Joe, your thoughts?
When I first started looking at the story, I had the impression that he was a little boy. I thought he was 6 years old. And I scroll down, there's a picture of him, and he's got a mustache and a beard, and he's wearing a suit and holding a laptop. I'm like, this isn't a kid. Who's this guy? But then I started actually reading it, and he's 16 years old. And it is really cool what he did, because he went to the university, and he saw the problem on the wall, and they told him this is one of the unsolvable problems. And he didn't ask them why. He just said, how is it unsolvable? Of course it could be solvable. And so he went home and solved it.
Yes.
And that's really cool. And I think the formula was for predicting how a ball will bounce off a wall.
Really? Oh, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool that Isaac Newton even thought of that.
This is going to sound really weird, but there's actually a formula for, like, when you put a ball of string in your pocket, you take a string, stretch it out, and you just kind of fold it up a couple times, and you start to pull it out, and it's all knotted up. They actually have a formula for that, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, I heard this a couple years ago, that there's a formula that explains why that string gets knotted up in your pocket. Which is just blows my mind. You were going to say, I'm sorry, but just you go ahead and say something?
Well, I was wondering if their minds are so unfettered with the daily concerns of paying bills and raising children that these kids are able to focus more of their intellectual abilities into solving problems like this, because they aren't fettered with the problems of being a grown-up, which, you know, cloud the mind and, you know, distract one.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. His dad was an engineer, and he had him doing math problems when he was a little kid, so.
Yeah, that's what my oldest one is going to for college. She's going to be going into engineering. I told her, make sure you blow the whistle really hard.
You are such a hoot. No pun intended.
I want to blow the whistle.
We'll buy you a whistle, okay?
Yay! All right, well, let's get into our next topic. Now, a Saudi woman took a stand against the feared religious police over in Saudi Arabia there. She was in the mall, and she's walking around the mall, and she had put nail polish on her fingernails. And they're like, yo, you no good, you're naughty, you're bad, you're blasphemies, because you've got nail polish on your fingers. And she basically said, you know, I'm going to do this. It's really none of your business. She posted a video of this online, and it's a 3.5-minute video. It went basically viral, and it shows the prevention of the vice telling the women that they need to get out of here because they're, you know, you need to get out of the mall because you're disrupting the mall because you have nail polish on. Ooh, nail polish is so scary. Dan, your thoughts?
Definitely Western.
Yeah, this is, it's an interesting development. King Abdullah in Saudi Arabia appointed a new guy to be head of the religious police. And it's like, you know, just the idea of having a religious police force is ridiculous in the first place. But, you know, the new guy he appointed is a little more lenient because things have been, you know, advancing a bit in Saudi Arabia, particularly in the area of women's rights. They now have the right to vote, amazingly enough. And they basically said that, you know, the religious police don't have the authority to do certain things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the religious police don't care.
Why does that not shock me?
But this woman stood up to him and basically said, no, I'm not going to let you tell me what to do. I'm not going to leave here.
Right.
And I don't know if the guys that came up in the middle of the situation were, you know, private security there at the mall or whether they were actually regular police officers. But basically they told the guys, you know, you can't do this.
Yeah.
The religious police were told that, you know, you guys have to leave.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I wonder if Christians, if they could get away with this, I think they would really try this. What do you think?
Absolutely.
I think, some of them. I think that the, you know, the religious fundamentalists, you know, and, you know, not all of Islam thinks that women should be dressed head to toe in black with only their eyes showing 24/7. And this is a, the Saudi Wahhabists think like this.
Yeah.
And some other groups, you know, it's the fundamentalists of Islam, the same way that we have, you know, fundamentalists of Christianity that are on the fringe, so to speak. You know, this isn't the way everyone thinks in either particular religion. But I would think that, you know, religious fundamentalists of the Christian variety, like, you know, some of them that we've mentioned on the show before, only wish they had this kind of power.
Oh, yeah.
Only wish that they had a religious police force, you know.
Yeah, you know, I heard a comment on another show. It's called Godless Bitches, and they were saying, one of the episodes, they said that, you know, for the people who want to have religious police forces and religious laws in charge, should go over to a country where they have religious laws in charge and see how well they like it. And I completely agree with that sentiment. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, they have a very effective control over the populace, you know, based on the times they have to pray each day. And if you think of this, how many times they have to pray, and the religious police are there making sure if you're pumping gas and it happens to be mid-noon, that you had better have your prayer carpet out and be praying. I mean, talk about controlling a populace, you know, with an ordered set of tradition such as that. So she stood her ground, though. I've got to give her credit. I mean, the guy who replaced I'm losing my train of thought here.
I'll blow the whistle.
Stop making fun of me. That's not fair. But Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh banned volunteers from serving in the commission, which enforces the kingdom's strict Islamic rules. You know, you imagine having, we had somebody who was overzealous, George Zimmerman, and he shot a boy. That's not religious, but if, as Joe was saying, some right-wing religious fundamentalists could get away with this kind of control over a populace, they would. But you can look at the Amish and the way they live, and there's a bit of control over them. I mean, they've gone to a very extreme degree. You've got the Mormon in their magic underwear, you know. So even within our country, we have examples of this.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the government is not forcing you to wear magic underwear.
Yeah, that is if Romney gets in, then he'll shove it all down our throats.
Right, I've already ordered mine.
I'll take
Amazon.com.
I'll take an extra large for me. Joe, your thoughts?
In Saudi Arabia, it's these guys going around enforcing these moral codes. But in our country, the examples of religion trying to control the general populace would be like them trying to stop gay marriage and them trying to prevent women from reproductive freedom. That's how they go about it here. Mm-hmm. Over there, they have these thugs. I watched the video, and they look like a gang of just straight-up thugs. Like, they're roaming around the mall looking for women to pick on. They're saying things to her like, "Get out of our mall." It was despicable. And what's great is she didn't just stand up. She openly mocked them. Towards the end of the video, it sounded like she said something like, "I'm putting on lipstick. What are you going to do about it? You can't tell me what to do."
She was very in their face.
Yeah. Like the other cops came over to separate them. And she was like walking around them, like mocking them. Just like, "Yo, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't do nothing." And so she's my new hero of the week.
When you look at the video on YouTube, most people were against her. They disliked what she was doing. It was calling her a slut and a, you know, a hooker and other, you know, nasty names. So,
well, she did have nail polish on.
Well,
no, nail polish is the root of all evil.
I'm a natural girl myself, just so you know, guys. I don't want to be hated.
I small confession here. I have worn nail polish on my toes. Black nail polish. So
you're turning me on, Parker.
No, it was actually an experiment. I did it as an experiment.
Oh, you were experimenting. Okay.
It was not that kind of experimenting. Yes, I was experimenting. No, it was not that kind of experiment. I had heard that if you put, because nail polish it strengthens the nail. So if you put it on your toenails, it would help, you know, keep them from breaking as easily. And it was just something I was just trying out a theory. So
why didn't you use clear instead of black?
I like black. I like black. It made
it's
my
like gaffer's tape on your toes.
Yeah, it made my toes look sexy.
It went with
in
your
a
shoes.
Manly sort of
and the way with my shoes. Well, no one, you know, the thing is, the only person who ever saw that my toes were actually painted was me. So, my now ex-wife did too, and so it was
I'm
just
a manly, sexy beast.
Hey, I'm man enough to put nail polish on my toes if I want to.
Right on, Packard. I respect you so much more now.
Well, thank you. Joe,
don't let the moral police see you.
Yeah.
Let
them try catching me. Joe, did you already go, or?
Yeah, I went.
Okay. I started talking about my toes. I forgot everything we were talking about. speaking of religious nut jobs, a serpent handling pastor died after he's bitten by a rattlesnake. 30 years later, after his father died exactly the same way. I mean, there's a passage that I think they basically have taken completely out of context. It says, it's in Mark 16:18. It says, "Thou shalt take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, anything, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Well, he didn't recover. He did not recover. In fact, he went lay down for. He got bit in the thigh. Well, he's at some kind of party or whatever they had set up for on Sunday, and he went to lay down for several hours, and then they said, "Oh, you know, our prayers aren't working. We've got to take him to get him." They call an ambulance. Then by that time, it was way too late. Apparently, he had bitten several times before, and he never got treatment for that either. So I think, you know what they say, three times a charm. So, Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, the guy had been bitten several times before. And, you know, if the snake doesn't actually inject a lot of venom, you know, yeah, you can survive from some of it. Depends on the snake, naturally. But, you know, this... If only it could happen before he had the chance to pass on this stupidity to other people, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be, you know, natural selection in action. But, you know, there's a reason why we don't play with venomous snakes, and this is why.
Yeah.
It's, you know... People can use religion to bolster any idea that they have, you know.
Justify any nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. To justify things, you know, there are people that are using religious ideas to justify bigotry and hatred toward homosexuals right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the 50s. Some of the same passages were used to justify hatred against blacks and the fact that you know they thought blacks and whites shouldn't intermarry, and you know religion was used to support slavery and still is in many areas.
Yeah,
it's it's just, it's an excuse. It has nothing to do with religion itself. It's an excuse that people use to control other people. And, you know, it gets twisted around to something like this, where they're, you know, they are literally drinking strychnine and dancing around, playing with snakes that are poisonous and can kill them. And this guy's father died 30 years ago from exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know,
obviously wasn't that bright, because the guy is like, dad bit from a snake bite. Gee, you know what? I think I should play with the snakes too. Brain dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it was very much a family thing. His brothers and sisters have done it too, but not to the same extent he has, apparently. But yeah, it's very much an Appalachian thing, Pentecostals. It's very, you know, frightening to see what it does to some people.
Yeah, it really is.
It's not as prevalent as it used to be. It's dying out with these people as they slowly get bit, and people say, you know, their children are looking at them and saying, "You people are crazy."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm glad that it's dying out. I'm sorry that it has to be in such a scary, violent way. But this guy got exactly what he was asking for.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, no, I just find the irony. It's just so funny. I mean, I'm sad the guy died, but I mean, it just goes to show you that these people are believing in total nonsense. And the fact that it took this guy 30 years to understand that, you know, under his deathbed, I'm wondering if he goes, you know, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Just one of those things, I guess. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, you know, that these same people who are playing with rattlesnakes are going to accuse Muslims of being strange people because they pray five times a day. All religion is absurd.
Thank you.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That works. That works. Joe, your thoughts?
I looked at this. I heard about this article earlier in the week, and I thought to myself, well, that makes sense. I'm not surprised that people actually do this. I'm not surprised that somebody got hurt or killed doing this. But today was the first time I actually looked at the article, and there was a picture of him dancing with the snake. And so I was like, oh, okay. And I scrolled to the bottom of the article, and there's a video of him doing it. So I watched the video, and they would play this, you know, religious music, and all the people were dancing around, and there he was with his snake, and he's dancing around, bouncing around, waving the snake around, holding it upside down, wiping the sweat off his face with it.
Ugh.
And I'm just like, what are you doing, dude? That's a rattlesnake.
Yeah.
And he was just like, whatever, you know, like, I love Jesus, wipe the sweat off my face with a snake. So guess what? The guy is dead now.
Yes. You know, this reminds me of another story I had heard earlier this year or last year. There's a bar, they had their pet snake would be picked up. They had people take their photographs with it. And just a week earlier, they had a picture of a baby was up next. They put up a baby next to the snake. It was a python, you know. And the following week, the python got pissed off about something and bit the owner in the face. And just that could have happened to that little child. Could you imagine the lawsuit that would have had? So
what
I just
this? It was a snake that bit him.
Yeah, it was a python. It was the bar mascot. So, but after the owner got bit in the face, the python is not allowed in the bar anymore. So
I wonder why.
Gee, it's just that I just don't understand people's obsession with snakes. Leave it to the professionals, the herpetologists, the zoos. You know, they're interesting creatures. Yes, they move around. They don't have any legs, but they move around. That means you don't touch them unless you know what you're doing. There are things in life you don't touch unless you know what you're doing. You don't go, oh, you don't go to gather a bowl of plutonium and drink it and say, but and keep it next to your bed. You're like, oh, it gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling. Yeah, it's plutonium. It's deadly. A snake is deadly. It's the same thing. It's just alive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're going to handle poisonous snakes, you need to wear gloves, you need to use a snake hook,
yes.
You need to respect it more than think it's a dance partner. It's just crazy.
Absolutely, it is.
Or a hand towel.
Don't forget your towel! I'm sorry, that was from last Friday, don't forget your towel, it was towel day. I completely forgot about that, so, but... But yeah, he was using. If he's using a towel, he obviously had the "don't panic" thing written in his brain somewhere. Apparently, it was just on flash. It was taken off of flash and just left on. So, but anyway, let's get into our next topic. And our funny tweet tonight comes from Embellishment, and he said, "My whole life has been a choose-your-own-adventure book with about the same success rate."
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah, so it's... let's see here.
I'm sorry, I missed the funny tweet.
Oh, you did it?
I was pawned by the chat room.
Oh, you're pawned by the chat room! All right, I'll read it again. It said his whole life has been choose your own adventure book with about the same success rate. Dan, your thoughts?
Do they still make choose your own adventure books?
I don't think
they do. I remember those. Those were fun.
Yeah, I was actually when I was younger, I was trying to create my own version of this. On the Apple IIe, I was trying to like, okay, I'll just copy the book and just figure out. But I never got it finished. It was just too much. Like, screw it. But you know, if they brought that back, that would be a great book for the iPad. It really would, because
that would be a great book for the iPad.
Absolutely, because you can't cheat.
I never thought of it that way.
But all right, Medusa, you said you just went. Chill your thoughts.
I used to read Choose Your Own Adventure books when I was a kid, and sometimes the storyline would be a complete dead end. Sometimes you wouldn't know for six steps. So I used to read ahead six steps to see how far I would get. And if it ended, I was like, no, bad choice. And I'd have to go back and start over.
I did the same thing. Don't feel bad. I just wish I could do that with my own life.
I miss those. They were fun. They were fun to read.
Yes,
I had a few science fiction ones.
Yeah, I had the one where you get beamed aboard a pirate ship in space.
Wow!
Yeah, so you had to choose each one, and you get to be a pirate or something. I've had a Western based one. I wish I can picture them in my head. I just can't remember what they all are. But anyway, let's get into our. Shout out for this week.
Hey, you guys!
And the shout out comes from tonight from Medusa. Medusa, who is your shout out for?
It's in honor of Zombie Apocalypse. I have chosen Daddy Chaos at Born of Chaos. I love his bio. Atheist, sadist, poet, graphic, necrophiliac, cannibal.
How appropriate.
How appropriate is that? And that he loves me and adores me is all he needs to do. I love his homepage, and he's always off the hook and vicious and delicious. And
oh, I forgot to put the title of who's in the topic here. I'll put it in later. Anyway, if you're out there. And you want to give Born of Chaos a follow. It's BornofChaos. So give him a follow. Tell him you heard him tonight on the show. All right. It's time to get into our questions of the week.
Excuse me.
I have a question.
I have a question.
I have a question, sir.
What are you doing? I'm asking a question.
Our question tonight comes from Joe. And it was really interesting. He actually sent me several. He wasn't sure which ones he wanted to do there, but we finally picked one, and it was a really good one. It says, "What is the first thing you do once the aliens release you from getting after you got abducted?" So, Dan, what would be the first thing you would do if you? You got abducted by aliens, and what was the first thing you do once you got released from them?
Head for the pharmacy.
See if preparation H is on sale.
Because I just know it's going to be time for my anal probe when I get out there.
Oh, God. Now I can have a paper test. Show them the little strip. Stay away from my, you know.
Yeah.
From my Bobo. Stay away from my Bobo there, E.T.
Medusa, what would you do for your first thing you would do after you got...
That's what I would say. Stay away from my Bobo, E.T.
That's the first thing you would do, huh?
Here's my urine. Here's my blood. That's all you need. Now let me go home again.
Okay. Joe, this is your own question here. What would you do?
Very similar to Dan, I would take a couple aspirins and I would go to the Taco Bell.
I didn't know you could go get fast food. I want a treat. I'm going to KFC.
Anal probes are worse than Google. They just track you everywhere you go. It's terrible.
Yeah. Wow. You know, all right. For myself, you know, I'm taking this a different way. It does say aliens, but it could be illegal aliens. So if I was abducted by illegal aliens, you know, I just say I'd probably run for the border too. You want tacos? I'll go get you some tacos.
Quiero Taco Bell.
Across the freeway. Watch out for traffic. Oh, it was bad. Bad Medusa. Bad, bad, bad. Somebody spank me.
Someone bring the taco dog. We need him back. So.
Quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah, quiero Taco Bell. Anyway. Okay, whatever that was.
It's Cartman.
Oh, Cartman. Anyway. Well, if you want to reach us on the show, we're all on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, where aren't you? You can reach Dan on Twitter as?
Rel Unrelated. That's RelUnrelated.
Right, and if you want to reach Medusa, you can reach her at on Twitter as?
Medusa Rants, MEDUSA_RANTZ.
Right. If you want to reach Joe on Twitter, you can reach Joe at Twitter as?
Joe Unseen, JoeUnseen.
Right. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me at Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. You can get the show notes at PackardPokeset.wordpress.com. If you want to get the show announcements, that's at PackardPokeset on Twitter, all one word. And if you were, while you're at the PackardPokeset.wordpress.com website, there's a donation button there. If you would like to, if you like the show, if you want to help keep these mind-blowing errors that we've been having, technical difficulties we've been having tonight, down to a minimum, you got to go down to the page here, press the donation button, and throw in a dollar amount, you know, a few dollars here and there. Since we do the show for free, you know, it'd be a nice little donation so we could, I can at least try to get the hardware to cooperate whenever I can. So, but anyway, if you do want to reach us, you'll find us there on Twitter, and our Twitter names will be at the webpage, and you can find us all listed there as well, and all the show notes that we talked about tonight, so. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming and putting up with the small issues we've had tonight. And come to the live show. If you want to come to the live show and see us live, we're at justin.tv/PackardPokeSat at 9 o'clock standard, Central Standard Time. That's Chicago. We're just looking over time. Chicago's in at your time is at 9 o'clock at Friday nights. And... coming to the channel at justin.tv slash peckerpokeset. If you want to chat with us, you have to sign up for an account, which is free, and then you can just chat with us in the chat room. We'd love to have you. We have a lot of fun there, and it's just a blast. But anyway, I would like to thank everyone for coming tonight, and we'll see you next week. This has been Packer Pokes At. My fingers are snapping tonight. Poke at your news.
And that's a wrap.